For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The bottom line is this job, the one I'm in, and I would say this for any professional general manager or coach, requires complete engagement, complete effort, 1,000%. And if you can't do it, then you shouldn't do it. And so that's the answer to the question of why. I can't do that to our players. I can't do that to Joe and Peter. Really, I can't do it to myself. And that's a question I've been wrestling with. Appreciate your patience letting me make that decision, everybody in this room. I've only known how to do things one way my whole life, is kind of all the way. And it doesn't feel right to do something when I can't give it everything, and that's what it takes to do what we've done over the last, for me, 12 years.
We're going to win no matter what. I don't care what the rules are. We are going to figure out a way to do it. That's what good organizations do. They figure out a way to win the game. And our game is to win games and to win championships. And you know, when we came here, this ownership group 13 years ago, we made a ridiculous proclamation about winning within 5 years, and of course somehow we managed to do it, all of us, players and everybody involved, and we've continued to win, and look, the rules will change in the game, but we'll continue to do that. We're going to work really hard to do it.
Natalie, what's happening? Everybody, what's up? Welcome to Brother from Another on a Wednesday. I'm happy right here to get this show started, Natalie. For all those listening on Sirius XM Channel 85, watching on Peacock TV, watching on YouTube, wherever you're consuming the show, you know what? We appreciate you, your family. And, you know, Natalie, I think we should do something different today. I think I should tell you about your business, and you should tell me about my business.
Okay, let's just
turn it around. It's like kind of dropping in. You can be like the guest analyst. It's like dropping in on, if you were to drop in on Boston TV and just say, hey, listen, let me tell y'all what's going on with the Celtics. And some people would be like, oh, that's a refreshing point of view. And some people would say, get the hell out of here. You don't know what you're talking about. I've been watching them all year. And it's like me dropping in on NBC Bay Area, family, appreciate you, and telling everybody what's going on with the Warriors and how everybody should be concerned that Bob Myers, you just heard from him off the top, Bob Myers, the former general manager of the Golden State Warriors, deciding to leave after 12 years and 4 championships. And Natalie, I got to tell you right off the top, I'm a little taken aback, not offended, but taken aback by something that you wrote in your feed. Okay, I'm saying... okay, I'm taking it back. I'm just gonna put that out there right now. I say without their GM, the Warriors will learn that it takes a village to create a champion. Natalie says, well, is Steph coming back? Essentially, if Steph is there, we all good. And I just want to point out to you, Natalie, that Steph is at home right now after losing in the second round. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant is at home. Mm-hmm. LeBron James is at home. Giannis, Luka. I've named some really great players who are at home. And yeah, they're still great, but they can't do it on their own. Those guys will all tell you, I can't do it on my own. Giannis, Joel Embiid, he said that final words of the season, or some of the final words of the season, said, hey, I can't do this all by myself. It's a team. This is the MVP of the league. So having Steph, in my opinion, is not enough for the Golden State Warriors to continue what could be or what has been a dynasty. I'm not sure it still is. Having Steph is not enough. Losing Bob Myers is a significant piece because now they're in a crisis. They're in transition. Let me scratch that from the record. They are not in crisis. They're in transition because now you've got some decisions to make. You got some contracts coming up. You got Draymond, who's got a decision to make on his contract. You've got Klay Thompson in the final year of his contract. You've got Steve Kerr going to the final year of his contract. You had Joe Lacob, who you also heard there, who's one of these two timeline guys. And is Steve Kerr that? Is Steph Curry that? So you got guys like Kuminga who are like, hey, when's my time? Moses Moody, when's my time? Mm-hmm. The Jordan Poole situation, what do you do with that? Natalie, I'm just trying to tell you, no predictions. I'm just saying that I think the Warriors are really going to struggle without Bob Myers unless they just make some brilliant decision. And the plan in place, I don't think it's a brilliant one. To have a Lacob, a member of the Lacob family, and to have Mike Dunleavy Jr. running your front office, I think the dynasty might fall apart just based on the front office structure and not knowing the artful moves that need to be made to keep this thing going. What do you think? Am I right or am I all wrong?
Well, you're not all wrong. I think it is warranted to be concerned about the potential nepotism at play with Kirk Lacob, Joe Lacob's son. It's being reported that he'll get a bigger role. So he wouldn't be the new GM. He wouldn't be the successor to Bob. But it seems like he's executive VP of basketball operations. So like a more prominent role. Mike Dunleavy, look, to me, I'm not a fan of the whole Mike Dunleavy thing either. And many Warriors fans aren't, which has more to do with his history with the organization, but he's been there now for some time and he acts in the place of Bob already in terms of attending certain meetings and he's in the room for the discussions. The Warriors have a very collaborative kind of process. So I don't know that Bob was ever really making decisions on his own anyway. And that could be in part why he wants to leave, because he didn't have that full control. So when I say that the dynasty is to be continued because you still have Steph Curry, like, of course, it doesn't only take Steph. But what I'm saying is the players are the most important thing. And he still exists along with the core. And then, like, I think Joe Lacob, even though I do think he inserts himself a little bit too much, is the second most important thing, because there are many great GMs. And if you don't have an owner that's willing to pay or willing to make moves, then, you know, that's not going to happen. So it was very reassuring to me when Joe Lacob is like, we don't care about that CBA. I'm paraphrasing. We're going to still win. We're going to still do what we have to do. So I know he's in the right mindset. So when he came in, he made changes that were not popular and that people didn't like. And look where they are now. He's a venture capitalist, right? And he's successful for a reason. So I guess what I'm saying is that you have an owner that cares and is invested and wants to win. And typically when you combine that with a generational talent like Steph Curry, good things are going to happen. You know, every GM is not always someone who had the job before. It's someone who's been training, right, been working, and they have to step into the role. You know, Bob Myers was an agent and then he became a GM. And there are aspects of being an agent that helped him in terms of relationships and things around the league. And Mike, you know, Dunleavy, the fact that he was a player and also has relationships, I think will help him. And he's sort of been in this role, like grooming. So it wouldn't be my top choice, but I'm not like, oh my goodness, you know, things are going to fall apart if he's the successor.
Well, I do want to say this, Natalie. Joe Lacob can say what he wants about, hey, you get the job done. We're just going to win. And when I came in 13 years ago, I love when owners do that. Most owners do that, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Pat themselves, you know, listen, and you all told me I was crazy when I did this. I came in and this is where we were and I changed things around. Okay, calm down, cowboy, calm down. We know, but you also have Steph Curry. You didn't bring in Steph Curry. You didn't draft him. You didn't draft Klay Thompson. The foundation was pretty good when he took over the team. It's like, okay.
But they had to get rid of Monte, and that was a big deal at the time.
I know, I got it.
Right? Yeah. And they brought in Bogut, and they my point is, it's less about those
in
decisions.
My organization, though, I just want to say, though, an organization, if you're telling me I have to get rid of dead weight or I've got to acquire a star, it's harder to acquire a star than it is to get rid of dead weight. Dead weight has got to go. You're desperate to, it's got to go somehow, some way. But acquiring superstars is difficult. I mean, that helped. Look, I'm not taking anything away from him. He's a really good businessman, a huge asset to the Bay Area. Everybody, I'm sure, realizes that. But he can say what he wants to say. I just want to point out the details. This new CBA is something else. If you read the fine print of it, it is clearly designed to stop what Golden State and just a handful of other teams have done.
Absolutely.
And so it's going to take, once again, it's going to take a little bit of an artist, a front office artist, to kind of navigate and to figure it out without being really prohibitive. It's not just a matter of, well, you got money, you can spend it. No, if you look at it, if you're spending a certain amount of money, they will freeze your first round pick. You won't be able to move it. All kinds of things that they've done to make sure
the parts that, really...
that you're not accumulating some super team.
For sure. I came on here and I vented because I was angry about it. I don't know if you were here that day, but I was upset because
I wasn't. You
were penalizing a team like the Warriors, where they essentially built through the draft and development. I mean, the only big acquisitions the Warriors had was Kevin Durant, but that was done through free agency, and they had the money, which they only had because of, you know, just a confluence of fortunate events that happened, whereas like there was the spike in the cap. And also because Stephen Curry had taken that discount on his contract, right? So that's not something that could really ever happen again, regardless, because it was just a unique set of circumstances. And they got Andre Iguodala. Other than that, they've built this up through their own development, right? And by getting, like, you know, the mid-level exception players and things like that. And that's where the league is really hurting them, because they're getting rid of the ability to acquire mid-level players. And they're saying like they want you to develop by using the G League, but the Warriors, Gary Payton II, right? A lot of the players they did before Damian Lee left. Like, a lot of what they've done has been the methods that the NBA is saying to use. And now they're turning them off and saying, you can't even use those anymore. So they've done it the right way. They're not like a Clippers, which I don't really think that you should be penalized by the way you do it, who went out and just got like, let me get Kawhi, let me get Paul George, let me get all these. That's not what the Warriors did. They did it the correct way. And they're still being penalized.
Respect.
So I don't, you know, I think we all know the answer, and it's going to be trade. And I do think a trade's going to happen. And I think that was going to happen whether Bob Myers stayed or he goes. Because that's the only way that they can really reshape the team. But I don't think the core is going to be disrupted. I don't. And so that's the reason why I think they're going to be okay.
Okay, you're talking about trades. You're talking about core. You're talking about roster construction. That's the story out west. Maybe that's the story on the East Coast with the Boston Celtics. Let's listen to Jason Tatum and then our NBA analyst, Boston correspondent, Natalie, will tell us about the Celtics. Here's Jason Tatum.
Jason, you and Jalen have obviously been through it all together since day one. How important is it for this team to keep him here long term as he goes into extension talks this summer?
It's extremely important. You know, he's one of the best players in this league. You know, plays both ends of the ball, and you know, still relatively young. So, and he's accomplished a lot so far in his career. So I think it's extremely important.
All right, Natalie, what's up with the Celtics? What do they need to do? I mean, they've went to the conference finals this year. We know what happened, lost in seven to the Heat last year, lost in six games to your Warriors. After being up with 5 minutes to play in game four, okay, they had a 2-1 lead. They're up with 5 minutes to play. They got the ball and a five-point lead. Oh, they're about to go up 3-1. No. So what happened? What needs to happen with the Boston Celtics for them to get to a championship level?
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, I'm a little bit in the Mike Smith camp where I do think it might be time to break up the two J's. I heard your conversation yesterday. I did not agree with Sherrod on toughness. We watched Jason Tatum go into Giannis's building just, what, a year ago and go in and win a must-needed elimination game. We've seen them go into many places on the road and win games they needed. And to me, that's mental toughness. So I don't think it's a toughness issue. And I don't think you forget that. I don't think you forget how to do that. And I also, with respect to coaching, like, I do think Mazzulla needs to grow. And you did say this yesterday, Michael, that he's not the main or the biggest issue. But to me, the issues have existed for multiple coaches. They existed with Brad. They existed with Ime. They exist now. So I don't think we can, like, look at the coach and say that. And I think it's roster construction. So I get the sentiment of not breaking up two players, but they don't complement each other. And I think that's the issue. And the only way you're going to tie it together is to get a point guard. And I know you guys talked about that, but I don't think it's a Mark Jackson type point guard. I don't think it's a Chris Paul. I think it's a combo guard. I think it's a Damian Lillard. I think it's that kind of player, because I actually don't think I don't think he can actually be your second best player. I think at best he's your third best player. And so I think he either needs to drop back, and I don't know if you want to pay a player that much money to be your third best player, right? And also, if you are going to get someone the likes of a Dame Lillard, you have to trade something to get him. So, and I'm just using Dame as an example, but they need a more dynamic scorer, ball handler, someone who can set them up. And I don't think that they have the ability to acquire that without giving up something. But also, right, then there's egos and roles and where does everyone fit? And so, and then with the, and Boston is also a team that's going to be impacted by the CBA rules. So I just don't think they can do it. And so that's in part why I think you have to break them up, you know, and that's how I feel.
Woo. Hey, first of all, where are the flame emojis? Put the flame emojis on the screen. Natalie is bringing the fire. Here's a mic. Dropped. I don't want to drop it too much. I don't want to break this. This is a nice mic, right?
Did I say something controversial?
No, you dropped it. Listen, Natalie, we are on the same page. You know what I did today? I'm telling you, listen, you can't make this up. I'm telling you, Natalie, probably about 2 hours ago, writing some notes down, like, okay, if the Celtics really wanted to be aggressive, say Jaylen Brown didn't want to stay in Boston, what could they do? I wrote this note down, then I tested it out. I said, what if they were to take Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart, flip them both to Portland for Dame Lillard? Then I went on the trade machine, and guess what? That damn thing works. It works. That trade financially works out perfectly. So you bring in a combo guard who gives the Celtics scoring, clearly, and gives them playmaking, ball handling, assist. They haven't had anybody who averages 7 assists, which is what Dame averaged last year, 7+. They haven't had anybody do that since Rajon Rondo was a Celtic. That was almost a decade ago. Kyrie was close, like 6-something. Kimba Walker, they wasn't that guy. Marcus Smart's not that guy. Like 7 assists and can stroke it. Woo! Woo! Oh my goodness.
One last point, because I know we got to go. But the reason I said in my feed, the question is, does Jalen want to remain a Celtic? Is because I feel like throughout the season, Jalen sort of made these comments that make you wonder about how happy he is, right, to be in Boston, whether he wants to stay there. And being, I don't think he's going to get that super max. Like, even if the Celtics want to keep him, I don't think he's earned it. I don't think they're going to pay him that, right? And so,
yes, he will.
I don't think he is.
I guess the only I like your trade. I like your idea of breaking it up. I do. I like that. And I think it will make the Celtics better. I don't know if Portland would do it. And be like, we get younger. We get a guy who's still ascending. He still is. Jaylen Brown's 26. Dame's in his early 30s. And you get Marcus Smart, too, who's also under 30. I don't know if Portland would do something like that. But the only place I really disagree with you is your assessment of Jaylen Brown. I think Jaylen Brown is a really, really good player. I don't think he is a number three. I think he's an elite two. Maybe he's not a one, but not a number two, an elite two. It's like there are tiers.
He has to get a better handle to be an elite two. He has to develop that handle to get to be an elite two, I think. It doesn't have to be great, not point guard great, but not eight turnovers. Like.
Well, that was just, but this, and keep in mind, and you know, you get judged by what people see last, and I guess that's just human nature.
But is it just last? This was the same issue in the Warriors series. Once they figured out he couldn't go to the right, it was a wrap, right? Like,
or left.
Left. Sorry, yeah. Yeah, so it was a wrap. Yeah, his left, sorry. So it was a
wrap.
But if
you look at his, stats, now this time last year was a different conversation. This time last year, it was Jason Tatum who was getting roasted because he had a terrible series against the Warriors, shot 30-something percent from the field, just not very effective.
But he was the target of the defense.
Yeah,
he was the target of the defense.
And Jaylen Brown was that elite two who was balling out. He look at his numbers against the Warriors. He's really good.
In the first few games.
And game six. Look at game six. Pretty good in a loss. Anyway, look, Natalie. Thank you, Natalie, for dropping in and being a Boston analyst. You're
thank
hired.
Thank you for having me.
You're hired. I think Warriors fans just want to check me out some more. They want to check my references. They want to see what I'm all about. I have not been accepted to Dub Nation.
No, you've been good. You're definitely under consideration.
Under consideration.
You
come back
to
have meetings and talk about it. Can I get a second interview? Just give me a second interview.
For sure.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. Because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
What is it about the Miami Heat in the conference finals? I want every part of my being wants to dismiss them. I want to say Celtics in five. I'm going to say Celtics in five. It's probably not going to be Celtics in five. What is it about the Miami Heat that I'm missing that we all miss?
Draymond Green said it best. There's 82 game players and there's 16 game players. It takes 16 wins to win a championship, and those guys are on the Miami Heat's roster. You say Boston Celtics in five. I cannot bet against playoff Jimmy. This dude is unbelievable what he does to step up his game and raise the tide of everybody else around him. I'm sticking with the Miami Heat beating the Boston Celtics here in this upcoming conference finals. He called it last year when they got bounced in the conference finals. He said, we will be back and we will win next time. And beyond all reasonable doubt, he did it. Jimmy Butler back on the stage. I am not betting against that dude to lose in this series.
Well. I just wanted to point out, we had Tom Haverstraw. He came on. He was off the air. Oh, not. Don't be like, listen, you're better than Duncan Robinson. You're better than Duncan Robinson now. Don't do the Duncan Robinson.
Am I?
Of all people. Yeah, you're better than that, Duncan. Come on,
you
Duncan.
Were a little nervous when they went down and then came back, right? Like when it went to game seven, you were man, I got to rethink.
So Tom Haverstraw, the floor is yours. Because when he came on off the air, he was like, I didn't say anything yet. So you got the mic, you got the floor. What would you like to say, Tom?
Told you so. And I am so glad you didn't have me on last week, because I would have been a lot worse last week going up 3-0 against the Boston Celtics. And you know what? Like, I'm going to take a victory lap on this one. I said that Jimmy Butler is better than Jason Tatum in the playoffs, and I think he's a better player when it's the 16 games that you need to win a championship. And he proved that in this series, had a better series than Jason Tatum, and went in there in game seven and won on the Boston floor. Now, I do think it's telling that we are sitting here on May 31st debating whether to break up Boston's big two, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. That's how powerful Jimmy Butler is, that he is going to go into Boston and win that series and create a storyline that these two guys aren't championship material. Because I'm sitting here telling you, those two guys, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, have gone to the conference finals in 3 out of the last 4 years. And what Jimmy Butler, by infusing this confidence in Caleb Martin and Duncan Robinson,
has
effectively ended the big two era in Boston, according to the analysts out there who want to break up this team. That is the power of Jimmy Butler.
No. That's not the power of Jimmy. Listen. You can be great. You don't have to be graceful, but you have to be accurate. Okay. You know what I mean? I don't want you to be graceful. I want you to go ahead and gloat, but I don't want you to come up here saying that Jimmy Butler ended it. No, it's not Jimmy Butler. It is their own self-destruction. It is going down 3-0 to the Miami Heat. And Jimmy Butler was not responsible for them going down 3-0. It wasn't Butler. And by the way, can I say, was there a game four in this series? This playoff Jimmy, this great, this mythical character. There was a game four, right?
That's some stinker. Yeah,
and okay, game four.
There was a game five. Too. Yeah.
No, okay, but I'm saying, like, let's not exaggerate the magic of Jimmy Butler, who I think is 33 years old. I respect him. I think he's a really good NBA player. His resume speaks for itself as an individual talent. But at 33, I mean, I can't show you my ring finger. I'm going to show you my other finger, my other hand. Okay? He's right here. He's got as many rings on this hand as I do. So let's calm down, Tom, talking about the greatness and the majesty of Jimmy Butler. He ain't won a damn thing either. And he's 33 years old. And when he was 25 or 26, like Tatum and Brown, he wasn't as far in his career at 25 or 26 as they are in theirs. So what are you talking about?
Hey, I'm just talking about what we talked about last week, where I was getting booed off this stage for even fathoming, even considering the idea that this player, Jimmy Butler, is better than Jason Tatum as of right now. I'm not talking about Jimmy Butler when he was 26. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about right now. Would I rather have Jimmy Butler or Jason Tatum?
I think he's a better player than Jason Tatum.
I'm sorry. I still think it's debatable, Tom. I don't think Jimmy made that case for you in this series. Like, and listen, I'm petty, so I would take the victory lap and gloat too. So I would do the same thing as you. But I'm just saying, like, honestly, that was really a series about like his role players uplifting him. And he was awesome in like the first couple of games, but it wasn't about Jimmy. Jimmy, the reason they lost three games in a row, he didn't show up. And I mean, he said that himself at the post game. He's like, if I'm better, we win. And that's true. Caleb is out there doing what he has to do. Duncan Robinson, you know, everybody else showing up. And Jimmy, like, he got contained. Rob Williams, the length was giving him issues. Jason Tatum started coming in and doing his Jason Tatum elimination game stuff. And Jimmy had no answers. So to me, they both were inconsistent. It's hard to say that, you know, one really outshined the other, but Jimmy won. He won the series. So I still a debate who the actual better player is between the two of them.
Fair, fair. And I would say that Jimmy Butler had a game seven injury on the first play that rendered him useless out there. And he couldn't move. And so the numbers of Jimmy Butler actually outplaying Jason Tatum in the series, averaging 25, 7, and 6 with a pretty much a 2-to-1 assist to turnover ratio. And Jason Tatum has never been that guy. We remind ourselves of last year in the Boston series against Miami and against Golden State. Jason Tatum, very turnover prone. However, I just wanted to know that Jimmy Butler was also dealing with an ankle injury this postseason. And so while we want to say, hey, the Miami Heat were gifted the Malcolm Brogdon injury, the Jaylen Brown wrist injury, the Jason Tatum ankle injury, Miami Heat didn't have any Tyler Hero, which brings me to my favorite stat of this series. Caleb Martin and Tyler Hero hit more threes in this series than Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown combined. Tyler Hero didn't even play in the series. And Caleb Martin made more threes than Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. It is amazing what Caleb Martin did in that game seven. And really in this entire series. Caleb Martin looked like...
Should he have won finals MVP?
I think he should have. And which would put at Jason Tatum at like number three in the MVP rankings for me. Jimmy Butler at two, and then Caleb Martin at number one. I understand why they gave it to Jimmy Butler, but Caleb Martin looking like KD out there off the dribble, hitting 55% from downtown and just looking as confident as ever, running back and forth and playing all out on both ends of the floor. Caleb Martin was the story of this series. As much as I want to gloat about the Jimmy Butler prediction, that was the story of the series, is that Caleb Martin turned into the guy that I think Celtics fans wanted Jaylen Brown to be. Is the guy that is confident, hitting three-pointers, playing all-out defense, and the handle. I can't stress this enough. This dude was bounced from the Charlotte Hornets 2 years ago. Two years ago, one of the worst teams in the league said, we want to go with Kelly Oubre instead. We're going to go away from Caleb Martin, and ended up being one of the best, if not the best players in the conference finals.
No question. He was a lot of fun to watch. He did a great job. The numbers in the series were really historic. You look at some of the guys who accomplished what he did, and it's a short list. And you look at those names, and it's a bunch of Hall of Famers on that list. And there's no doubt, we were talking about it before, you know, Jaylen Brown was bad in the series. I mean, he was bad, you know, shooting from 3-point range. Free throws, he missed some free throws in the series. And you're like, what are you doing? Like, what?
Holly, was just he shot really 7 of 43 from downtown in the series. 7 just of bad. 43. Like, unfathomable what he was struggling from downtown. So, like, I hope that's the risk. I really do. I don't think they should break up those two. I think, Natalie, you made some great points about potential trades and Jordan Poole and Kuminga. Interesting from the Warriors' perspective. I think they do that deal in a second. I don't know if Boston does. But I really think Boston is a Malcolm Brogdon injury away, a Jason Tatum injury away from this potentially being Boston again in the finals. And I think Boston fans do not lose that perspective. Three out of the last 4 years in the conference finals and the final four in the NBA, I wouldn't break up the duo.
But you know, but you say three out of the last four. Yeah, me too. I'm with Natalie. I do. I think they, at times, you know, playmaking is a real issue for them, just being able to calm down and run something. It seems like at times you wonder, do they really have an offense? When they don't make threes, they just really don't know what – they just keep taking threes. It's almost like a kid where you say, you know, dessert is nice, but you're going to have to mix in a salad. You're going to have something else. And they just gorge themselves. They have no adults to tell them, no, no more chocolate cake, damn it. You got to do something else. They can't help it. Let me ask you this, though. You're saying all these wonderful things about the Miami Heat. I'm going to put you on the record again. Let's see if you can go 2 for 2. You called Miami over Boston. How about the NBA Finals beginning tomorrow? Nuggets, Miami Heat. Who you got?
So I love my guys in Miami. Dan Lebitard show. You know, this is really hard for me to say. I think the clock is hitting midnight here for the Miami Heat Cinderella story. And I know that's going to put me in the parade of gas bags that they do on the show. But I think it's Denver's series, and here's why. Joe Mazzulla and the Boston Celtics had no answer for that zone defense. Nikola Jokic is a one-man zone breaker. He can shoot. He can pass out of the high post, out of the low post. I just don't see how the Miami Heat are going to be able to defend with the zone defense that crippled the Boston Celtics offense in that series. I don't see it having nearly the same success as we saw in the Boston series. I don't see that working in the Denver series. Too many shooters. Jokic is too good. I think the Miami Heat are going to put up a great fight against Jokic. But to me, I think this is Denver's year. And I do not agree with the assessment that this would be the biggest upset in finals history if the Miami Heat pull this off. Even Vegas doesn't agree with that. You know, the Miami Heat right now are plus 320 in terms of underdog to win the series. That's 12th all time. And the 2018 Golden State Warriors were bigger favorites against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And so was the 2007 San Antonio Spurs going against Cleveland. I do think it would be an amazing story if the number 8 seed Miami Heat win this whole thing. I don't think it would make it the biggest upset in history. I just think that the Miami Heat are much better than that 8 seed. And I think Denver, they only have 9 more wins in the regular season. Yeah, it's 1 versus 8, but only 9 more wins in the regular season. We've seen that before. Still, Denver, I think, wins the series.
Tom, do you think, and I agree with you. I mean, I think the Nuggets should be favored. But the way some people are just saying, like, oh, the Nuggets are going to handle them. It's like 5-game series. I don't think this is going less than 6 at a minimum. I think Jimmy Butler and Eric Spoelstra can get you 2 wins. I think they can definitely do that. And we talked a lot about the magic of Caleb Martin. Do you think, because I feel like if he can continue that going into the series, and I know there's this debate about whether Hero coming back helps or not, I just think there's some things that switch up the series and the look that could come into play that could maybe throw off Denver a little bit.
Certainly. And all those things, even if Caleb Martin is the same Caleb Martin that we saw against the Boston Celtics, it's still going to be an uphill battle because of the fact that the rest advantage that the Nuggets have, not just in rest in terms of they've had basically a week off, but also the altitude. The Miami Heat are coming off a 7-game series where they were battered. It's not like they were scot-free in terms of the injuries either. They're worn down too in that Boston series. So I think going into Denver at altitude against a rested team, that's a tall task. If it was Denver that was going a 7-game series and Miami had the home court advantage and the Miami Heat had some rest, whole different story. But the rest advantage, Jokic is the zone breaker, and the fact that they've got both ends of the floor playing at a high level now with Michael Porter Jr. looking like a real defensive player all of a sudden this postseason, I just think it's the Denver Nuggets season. And my guy, Ish Smith, the guy who's played on more teams than anybody in NBA history, him winning a title would be such a cool story. I think Denver, it's going to be their year, and I do think it's going to go long, like you said, Nat. I think it's going to go 6 or more, depending on how much that altitude really affects the Miami Heat.
So you don't think there'll be any rest for Denver? Oh, sorry, Michael.
I don't think there'll be
rest from the long layoff.
I think the rust factor is something to think about, but when you're talking about the NBA finals, we've seen it in history. Kevin Pelton at ESPN.com, he did a breakdown of teams that had this kind of rest advantage going into the finals, And it's exceedingly clear. It is not a rest question. It is a rest advantage. So historically, it's proven that teams that have this long layoff, this vacation before the conference finals and the finals, it's to their benefit, not a rust. I think the Denver Nuggets will be ready.
All right. A couple quick questions, then we'll let you go. One, how many teams has Ish Smith played for?
I think it's 14 at this point. 14. Half the league, basically.
Wow. Yeah, pretty much half the league. And another thing, this is a big one. Now, here's a big question, and I want you and Natalie to weigh in on this. I know we've talked about it before, but I don't think I've gotten your take on it. It's Denver versus Miami. It's, I think it's market 16 versus 18, something like that, Miami and Denver. If you were the NBA commissioner, how would you deal with it? Would you worry about it? Would you say, hey, great basketball will take care of itself. We got Jimmy Butler. We've got Nikola Jokic. Two-time MVP. I don't care that it's Nuggets versus Heat. I care about basketball. Or would you say, oh, my God, God, I wish we had found a way to get Boston in there or the San Francisco, Oakland market or Los Angeles just because I got a league to run. I'm running a business, too. I'm concerned about it. How would you handle it? How do you think the commissioner's office is looking at this finals matchup from a ratings perspective?
Well, we just saw, I think, 12 million people watched the Celtics and Miami Heat Game 7, which was, I think, one of the highest numbers we've ever seen in the NBA outside of the NBA Finals. People are really into this Jimmy Butler story. They're really into the Miami Heat underdog story. The issue is Boston market is huge, and Denver is nowhere near that. And there's not as much storyline of Jokic and Jimmy Butler. We do have that fight, the Morris brothers and the Jokic brothers. I love the idea of having this like WrestleMania Royal Rumble at the NBA Finals and that backstory between Marcus Morris and Nikola Jokic. But they don't play for the Heat anymore. So it's a little bit, they got to come up with an underdog angle for both teams, which is kind of hard because Jokic is, I think, box office material as a basketball player. But we talked about this with Nate Jones, who reps a lot of NBA players on the Basketball Illuminati podcast. It's not like Jokic wants to be marketed by the NBA. So he's got to do it in the NBA finals on the floor. And I think that's the issue is off the court, Jokic hasn't been that guy. And maybe in the NBA finals here, he will become a household name. But I will say, the Miami Heat did just put up huge ratings numbers in the Eastern Conference Finals Game 7. So maybe Jimmy Butler is catching on with the national audience. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it's funny. I just talked about this on my podcast as well. But I, as far as the commissioner, to the question you asked, I think they're concerned about it. I don't think there's any way around it. I don't think it should be such a triggering discussion, though. People get really defensive about it. And it starts to be like you don't appreciate basketball because you don't think the ratings are going to be good. But if you look back at the history of the league and the teams that have had big ratings, the people who have been the faces of the league, it speaks a little to what Tom just said. It's not just that they were great players on the court. They had an it factor, a Beyonce, you know, like Kelly and the others are amazing, but there's an it factor that comes with being that superstar. We find them interesting. They're personable. They're charming. There's something. And Jokic could be all those things. Sometimes I think he's sort of like Klay Thompson. He's unintentionally funny. But like in all of these post games, Mike Malone has been the most interesting to me, right? Like with everything that he's saying. And so he could turn into that, but he lacks a certain appeal, I think, in terms of outside of the basketball court and maybe even sometimes on the basketball court in terms of his play style and what people like, right? Like people do, Steph was unique with the three-pointers, but people like the Ja Morants, the dunks, the this, the that. And so I think the league should go in as much as possible in trying to market this and hype this up. But it probably won't fare as great as some of the others. I don't think it will be as bad as some people are predicting it to be. I think it's going to fall somewhere in the middle. I think that the big ratings for the Game 7 had to do with it being a Game 7 and probably more about the Celtics just because they are a very large fan base, much like the Knicks and the Lakers. But I think that's why it also was a game seven, and those also tend to have like better ratings.
See, I knew you guys would give great commentary on this. Tom Haberstroh, always great to have you. Thank you, brother. And Natalie, I just got to tell you, I take issue with your Kelly Rowland Beyonce comparison. Kelly Rowland got an it factor too. She's
I
got
love
the
Kelly,
it factor.
But come on, stop
Kelly,
playing.
She's got
I
it.
Love Kelly.
She does. She does.
Kelly might be my favorite, but I'm just saying, okay. You know, it's all about okay. The Beehive and Queen Bee.
No. Hey, we got all she needs is a nickname for her fan group, for her fan base. Give
but
her
Kelly
a nickname.
Is my
Give her
fave.
Something catchy.
I love her. So this is, you know what I meant.
How dare you disparage Kelly to make a point?
That's like y'all were disparaging boys to men. Don't even start.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
A lot can happen between falling in love with a house online and owning it. Between imagining living there and breathing in your new home for the first time. Having an advocate who can help you navigate the complex world of financing, inspections, negotiating, analyzing the market, and talking through any anxieties that may pop up, that can make all the difference. That's what the expertise of a Realtor can do for you. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors and bound by a code of ethics, because that's who we are.
All right, welcome back to Brother from Another. You see there, headline, this has been going on, Natalie, with the Dodgers. It looks like an organization. It looks like what it is. Let me just flat out say it. It looks like an organization that is being pulled in different directions, but really isn't sure where it stands. So the Dodgers announced that they were going to have a group come in and do a performance. Yep. This group, a little satire involved, men who dress up like nuns, and it's commentary on religious intolerance. There's some comedy, there's some irreverence involved. So the Dodgers initially invited this group. There was protest from those who said they were anti-religious, they were anti-Catholic. The Dodgers disinvited them, uninvited them. And then there was protest from the LGBTQ plus community. You're saying the Dodgers were anti-pride. So the Dodgers invited them back. And now they're back. And then there are those who say, well, why'd you invite them back? And one of the people who says, I don't like that you invited them back, was Clayton Kershaw, their starting pitcher. And so I look at this and I got to tell you, it's not just a Kershaw take. We've seen a lot of this in the last couple of years across numerous sports. Tampa Bay Rays pitchers have had a problem with Pride Nights. We know some hockey players on Pride Nights have refused to participate. There's a Toronto Blue Jays player who recently apologized for his comments on Pride Days and Pride Nights. And Natalie, I guess what I want to say about this is, I respect anybody who has a personal opinion about it. If here's a big if, only if they are willing to stand on their own opinion without hiding. Don't hide. If this is your opinion, don't hide behind it. What am I talking about? I'm talking about hiding behind something as large and as diverse and as subjective as religion. You can't say, well, you can say it, but I take issue with you saying, I don't agree with this because I'm a Christian. Okay. There are many branches of Christianity. There are many interpretations of Christianity. So don't try to hide behind Christianity or whatever your faith is. Say you don't believe it. Your interpretation of it is thus. Go ahead and say that. I know it's a subtle difference, but say, my understanding of it is this. Therefore, I feel this way. Because there are Catholics who will agree with you and Catholics who will disagree. Methodists who will agree and disagree. Baptists who will agree. Apostolics who will agree and disagree. There are people who have used religion to further their agenda and have used the Bible to say things that are hateful. And they'll use right. a verse or two to kind of further an agenda. For example, this is just factual. I don't know if a lot of people realize the Church of Latter-day Saints, for example, used to use two verses from Genesis to explain why Black people were less than in the church and why mm-hmm. Black people could not hold high positions in the church. This happened until 1978, Natalie, until 1978. The Church of Latter-day Saints had this policy based on the Bible. So you could say, hey, listen, I don't have a problem with Black people, but I'm just going by my religion. My religion says this, therefore it's right. That doesn't make it right just because you say it. So right. my point is, I wish people would stop hiding and just say what they got to say, and then we could have a real honest conversation. Right now, it just seems disingenuous to me.
Yeah, well, it's hypocrisy and it's selective because you don't feel the need to protest or have nights to promote Christianity when there are stories that come out about adultery or about other things that go against your religion. So this feels like pretext, obviously, and a way to hide your homophobia, right? And it's Ooh. Not lost. It's not lost on me that this is reoccurring in Major League Baseball, one of the more conservative leagues, hockey. I mean, and I'm not suggesting that there's still not struggles in the other leagues, but it's more pronounced in certain leagues than others. And, you know, I just, like you, I just get annoyed by all of the ways we have to talk around this rather than calling it what it is, you know? It's not mocking Christianity, not in my opinion. And that's fine, like you said, if that's going to be your take. But what about all the other things that mock Christianity, right? What about some right. of your teammates who probably are unfaithful? You know, I feel like the way that adultery has become so accepted and yeah. cheating, it's like, we don't act like that, you know, but if you really, thou shalt not commit adultery, like it's right there. So, and I'm not saying that to judge or to say that I agree with something or don't, I'm just saying like, keep the same energy because you're not keeping the same energy across the board. And so if you're not, and you're only focusing selectively on one particular thing, and it happens Absolutely. To be the gay community, you know, the LGBT community, well, then it's a problem, you know? And I think there's something else going on.
Absolutely. I mean, there are so many, you could, and selective is the right word too. I mean, there are so many passages, if you wanted to go there, there are passages about injustice, there are passages about oppression. There are passages about looking out for the needy and the homeless. Oh, do we just kind of ignore that too? You can make it say what you want it to say if you're not looking at the big picture. I'm just saying, look at the big picture, one, and then two, take the big picture out of it. Let's go smaller and make it about the individual. How do you feel about it? How do you really feel about it? That's when we start to have the honest conversation. It's easy to hide. It's a little more difficult and challenging to explain away individual feelings. Anyway, I'm glad we're not ending the show like this. We're going to take a quick break. And we're going to come back and talk about something, talk about sharing. individuals who may have shared a little too much. I don't know.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Is this house a good price compared to others in the area? Are prices going up or down? If I don't make an offer right this very moment, will I miss my chance? These are just some of the questions a home buyer might ask. And these are the sorts of questions an agent who is a Realtor can help answer. Because Realtors have the expertise, data, and access to specialty training to help you navigate the process of buying a home. They provide support, guidance, and have your back every step of the way. That's what Realtors do, because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
All right, listen, Natalie, we are going to have a watch party. NBA Finals start tomorrow. Nuggets, yep. Heat, and brother from another, we're doing that thing. We're going to be there. Mike will be there. I'll be there. You'll be there. We're going to have a lot of guests. We're going to talk our talk, do our thing at this watch party. You excited?
Very. Cannot wait.
And we're going to see Jokic do his thing, by the way. Speaking of doing your thing, Josh Hart doing too much. Josh Hart was asking people, if they've ever tasted their partner's breast milk. Okay, so.
yeah.
Jalen Brunson, his teammate on the Knicks, and his teammate, his boy back from Villanova, says, dog, delete my number, okay? This is too much. This is too much. I'm going to unfollow you. Delete my number. Yes. What's going on
and
with
he,
that,
he
Natalie?
He showed us a video unfollowing him so we would actually see it. And no, it was hilarious. It gave us something good to laugh at.
It is funny. It's not a thing. And the answer is no. No, I have not. Don't want to.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
It's one thing falling in love with a house, picturing yourself moving in and calling it home, and quite another navigating the world of price negotiating, mortgage lenders, and finding the budget that works best for you. An agent who's a Realtor can make understanding that world easier. Realtors have the expertise, access to proprietary data, and tools to help you get from imagining living somewhere to actually doing it. That's the kind of help we can provide. Because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.